share with you a quick story, not to make you squeamish or whatnot, but it's my ex-step sister-in-law. It's my brother. I'll just make it easy. It's my brother's wife. Her name's Shannon. Both her and her husband were in the military. She's been dealing with some issues for quite a while with her legs. And I'm not exactly sure exactly what it's called, but it's affecting the nerve endings in her legs. And it's got a little swelling. They had the chance, going through the VA, and I'm sure many of you have heard issues going on with the VA and the Phoenix VA and whatnot. She's actually one of the ones that they were talking about. Congressman Matt Stamm. And done a lot of things with her and with the VA. She had an opportunity to be healed with the stuff. They were sending her to another hospital outside of the VA, but the VA stopped paying. And because of that, treatment stopped. Now it's gone irreparable where they can't do anything. Basically, she's in and out of the hospital, if not every week, every other week, with swelling on her legs. And with the nerve endings that it's affecting her, they can't do surgery, because if they do it, it will spread. They've talked about possibly removing her leg, but if they do that, then it will spread even worse. The last time she was in the hospital, she basically had blisters from her toes all the way up to her knees, and all they can do is give her medicine or antibiotics to help so that it doesn't get an infection. She's going to die from this. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's basically the table. She's dealing with adversity, and how she gets through it, I'm not sure, and how her family gets through it, I'm not sure, but she's got a smile on her face, and she's going through a lot of stuff, and I think every one of us knows somebody within this congregation, within our family, within everybody, whether it be Sarah going through chemo, whether it be anybody that's going through things on it, we're not alone. There are things that we're dealing with that we're struggling with. Somebody once said, chances are pretty good that you are about to go through a difficult situation in your life or a difficult season. Chances are pretty good that you are in the middle of a difficult season in your life, or you are coming out of a difficult season in your life. Now, it's pretty grim, it's pretty bleak, but we like to think that a lot of times, we don't like to think about the bad things in our lives. We like to look towards the good times in our lives. But the hard part is, a lot of times when you're circling that drain, when you're going down, when you're at your lowest point, somebody's going to come up to you. And they're trying to keep you up. They're trying to keep you happy. And one of the things they say is, when God closes the door, he'll open a window. Well, that's good unless you're on the 12th floor, and then you're looking out that window and you think, phew. Okay. Or, God helps those that helps himself. Or a good one, and I have misquoted this one many times. Don't worry, God won't give you anything more than you can handle. God never said these things. It's not in the Bible. And that last one is actually a misquote from 1 Corinthians 10:13. And it says, in there, it says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. It's temptation. Not being able to handle something, but it's temptation. It's very easy to get caught up in that. I've talked to my wife, I've talked to everybody, and I've said those exact words. God can't give us more than we can handle. Because it makes us feel better. But I tell you what, if you're going through that situation, sometimes that's not what you want to hear. You want to hear, God, please take this away. So the Bible is full of examples of people in throughout history that have not been able to handle it. The book of Judges, Gideon, who says, I am the weakest in my clan. I am the least in my family. I don't have what it takes for me to do what you need me to do. Moses was quoted as saying, I am slow of speech. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not a good leader. These people are wearing me out. And I don't have what it takes. Esther was very, very afraid. King David, when the weight of the sin that he committed was bearing down on him, it was caught up to him, he said this in Psalm 38, verses 4 and 8. He said, for my iniquities have gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. How many of us have thought when we're going through problems, just please, God help me. Even Jesus in Mark 14, when he was in the garden, looking before his own death, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. And he prayed, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death, as he was sweating like drops of blood. He was troubled. I've had a lesson about this before. The stress that you go under when you're sweating like drops of blood. If you've been under exertion, physical exertion, you've seen it. You'll see basketball players, whatnot, that are just literally drenched in sweat. But imagine being that drenched in sweat because you're so worried about what's going on. God never said, I will give you more than you can handle. So the question is, why would God allow us to have more than we can handle? I think it's two things. First, I think it's dependence for us to depend on his presence. And second, I think it's to depend on his power. So let's jump into the first one. Depending on his presence. When life is going good, we don't depend on God. We're thankful that everything's going on. Thanks, God. You know what? I got it from here. Everything's good. I'm fine. Everything's smooth sailing. We're on that peak. But when life isn't going so well, think back to 9/11. Boy, the whole country was in turmoil. They said that there was more people in church the week after 9/11 because everybody went to God. Everybody was scared. There's a saying, there's no atheist in a foxhole. Anybody that's ever served in the military, anybody that's ever been at war, you're praying to God. Please help me. Help me get through this. If you've ever been flying, there's turbulence. But then sometimes there's turbulence and you're like, oh. I'll give you a quick story. Actually, when I was in the military, we were flying from Kansas to California. We were going to NTC, the National Training Center. And we were in one of these big 747s. Three seats on this side, like five or six seats and three seats on this side. We went back to the back, me and my buddies. This one kid that was with us never flown before. So we had fun with him. So as we're flying, and again, so since it's a military flight, we have all of our gear on. And we get back in the back, and there's literally a seat well where there should be a seat. And we throw all of our gear there because we're like, it's a free spot to put our gear. We don't have to keep it with us. The stewardess comes back and says, gentlemen, you can't put your stuff there. That's the blowout panel. Now, I knew what it meant. It's because there was literally a panel on the bottom where the air comes out. Oh, we messed with that. He's like, well, what do you mean blowout panel? Like, well, you see those rivets right there? If the plane depressurizes, that blows out. And he was sitting right next to it. Long story, so as he's going through, he eventually falls asleep. Now it's nighttime as we're flying. And this has been the worst turbulence I've ever been on. From the back of the plane, we dropped and shifted. I saw the plane shift this way as we hit this turbulence. He woke up. He was sleeping pretty good, but he woke up and we were like, dude, we're gonna die. he was so scared. He swore, cursed, prayed to God all in one sentence. It was amazing. When life is difficult, we're drawn to God. So an example that we have is Jonah and the Ninevites. God told Jonah, I want you to go talk to the Ninevites. So Jonah's like, sorry. I don't want to talk to them. He goes a separate way. And through a series of events, he started to rebel. Eventually, he's thrown out of the boat. He's in the ocean. He gets swallowed by the big fish. And in Jonah 2:2, we pick up, it says, I called out to the Lord because of my distress. Now, this wasn't because of his success at being swallowed and not drowning, but because of his distress, he called upon God. We crave God during our distress. In verse 7, it says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Again, it's always the hard times when we remember the Lord. We need to make it so that it's the good times that we remember the Lord too. Now, we'll have storms in our lives, different things that are going on. And sometimes we ask ourselves, why is God not with me? Why is he against me? And don't think that during a storm that God is not there. He's there with us. When the wind's blowing at us and pushing us around, when the rain, if you've ever been in the ocean, especially when you're a kid, you go up to the ocean, you try and stand against that wave. And you're thinking to yourself, it's just the water. It can't do anything, and that'll knock you over like you can't believe. You get up, you're pulling sand out of everything. It's fine. Okay? But as the waves are crashing down against us, that's when we depend on God. When we depend on God, we're asking him to draw near to us. We're calling on him to be close to me. In Psalm 145, verse 18, it says, the Lord is near to all who call on him, and to all who call on him in truth. When we're calling, we're drawn closer to his presence. And we remember him and his goodness. You guys remember, if you've probably seen these little plaques that are called, whether it's a poem or whatnot, called Footprints. And in the poem, it basically says, it talks about, you know, the two sets of footprints, and the guy looks back, and sometimes there's a single set of footprints, and he asks God, why did you leave me? During that, God says, those single set of footprints is when I was carrying you. So the second thing that we have is we're depending on his power adversity. I talked about this a little bit in our lesson. As a guy, there's a lot of times when we say, I bet you can't do this. Guys, we're dumb. If somebody says, I bet you can't do that, we're going to hike up our pants, we're going to do it. I bet you can't run through that wall. Show you. You know, we're dumb. Because we're told that we can't do something, we're going to do it. I'm an instigator of it. I'll do it with my kids sometimes when they're doing it. I'm like, I bet you can't do that. Impress me. Sometimes they get me to do it. Sometimes they look at me like, it doesn't work anymore, Dad. We'll hold on to something throughout the pain just because we've been told we can't do it. It's just like in life when we hold on to the pain that's going on that we're struggling through. And we say to ourselves, as we're holding on, we're struggling, and our muscles are just cramping up, our tendons are just about to give out, and we're holding on to it, and God's saying, in our mind, we're thinking, God will give you more than he can handle. Just like we hold on through that lie. It says, you have to hold on. You have to have the strength. You have the power. It's not true. We don't have the power in ourselves. You were not created to have all the power by yourself. You were created to need God, to be desperate for him. When you recognize that he didn't expect you to handle everything, that's when you experience God's power. Paul talked about this in Corinthians. And the thorn in his flesh. Now, to throughout the study, we're not exactly sure what the thorn in Paul's side was, or in his flesh. We don't know. Some people think it was blindness. Some people think it was other things. We're not sure, but we know that Paul prayed several times in the Bible to take this away from him. My wife, Jill, for 3 years now, she's been going to different doctors, different specialists. And we've prayed, take this away. I'm sure we've prayed for Sarah, going through chemo. God, take this away. I know Roxanne, with everything that you've been dealt with. I know there's been many times that we've all prayed. Pray for Roxanne. Take this away. If we were to look back on a scale of who deserves something more than others, Paul was probably pretty deserving on the different things that he's done in his life to take away that thorn from his flesh. And we think about all the things that we deal with in life, whether it be our troubles, our aches, our pains, our financial troubles. We constantly go to God, God, please take this away. Just one time, please. And he doesn't. Paul asked this of God in 2 Corinthians, verse 12, verses 9 through 10. He says, "But he said to me," and this is Paul saying, this is what God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." So Paul responds back, he says, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Some powerful things to think about, some powerful things to turn to when we're going through things. When we can't take it anymore, we need to rely on God's power to help us get through it. When we need to turn to God and not try and do it ourselves, and I am so guilty of doing that, trying to, it's that pride. I can do it. I can hold on. But we have to remember to turn to God. I can equate it to trying to, have any of you ever tried to row a boat? Now, imagine trying to row a boat across the ocean. As you're going across and you're pulling, you're rowing and you're rowing and you're going through and you're like, I can do this, I can get through it. I'm getting tired, but I can still do it. But if you throw that sail up and let the wind carry you across the ocean, you can sail instead of row. And that sail is God's power. Turn it over to God. When I am weak, then he is strong. We all have peaks and valleys in our lives. And like I said, the valley is when we need God the most. There's a prayer. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for he is with me." When we're in those valleys, and we're going to have them, that's when we need God the most, and we're clinging to him. He's going to give you more than you can handle. If you're going to be a foster parent, there will be more than you can handle. If you're going to raise a teenager, there will be more than you can handle. If you're a man married to a woman, or a woman married to a man, there will be more than you can handle some days. We're not created to do this on our own. We have to be weak. We have to be dependent on God. Again, we're closer to God in the valley than we are on that peak when everything's going good. If you're struggling, if you're in that valley right now and you need help, pray to God. Ask one of us for help. We're here for you. We might not be able to do anything but help pray with you. But that's what we're here for. We're family. brothers and sisters in Christ that we're here for. If you have any need, please.